for all.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest today is Cameron Day, a man who's more in touch with the source than the Heinz Corporation. Cameron, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
No, we've discussed a lot and gone through some very important things. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to do something very rare after today's show, Cameron, is I'm going to listen back and listen to the whole show that we just did, because I've come to a lot of important realizations in its duration. And I thank you very much for that. Something tells me, though, that there's a lot more important things yet to discuss, and I'd like you to take off and take us where you want.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I'm really glad to be able to be a conduit for deeper realization in you and hopefully everyone listening, that I can share something that can spark a deeper awareness of that truth inside of you. Now, I want to take this into the direction of some of the, let's say, challenges that I've received from people, some of the statements that they've made in attempting to rebut my case that I made in the article of why I'm no longer a light worker. And one of the, I'm going to just say, most insidious belief systems that has cropped up in numerous examples is the idea that there really isn't anything good or bad happening, that reality is all good, that Earth is just a school or an illusion or a dream, take your pick, and that whatever happens is just an experience and it shouldn't be judged, that you shouldn't resist it, you shouldn't take any action to create something else. And this belief is one of the most paralyzing, most disempowering.
Yeah, I was going to use the word disempowering. It's like, what?
Yeah.
How insane.
You'd be really surprised at how many people have bought this idea. Because, you know, to say that everything is just an experience, well, if you've ever known anyone who has been sexually abused or assaulted in any way, try telling that to them. Try telling them that it was just an experience and that they should just get over it. They shouldn't be, holding on to the past. They shouldn't be judging that person. And tell them even the next New Age myth is that they created that experience for themselves. The two actually kind of go hand in hand. And neither of them are true. Neither of them really makes sense when you think about it with just a bit of logic.
Neither of them accept any responsibility.
Yeah, and exactly. Even though you would think that the idea that, oh, well, you created that for yourself is taking responsibility, but it's not, because the truth is that we influence our reality, and everyone is influencing reality to the extent that they are able to. But when you have a planet full of people influencing reality, along with an entire hierarchy of falsely polarized beings influencing those people to influence their reality, then the truth is that there's a lot more happening out there than each individual is creating themselves.
Let's get this straight. There's 700 billion souls on Earth creating part of reality. And the New Agey belief is that you create your own reality, thereby voiding all of the other 7 billion other people.
Yeah, you know,
and it doesn't really strike you as remarkably arrogant?
It's remarkably arrogant and just plain inaccurate. So in a situation where, let's say you were walking down the street and you got mugged, and somebody tells you, well, you created that for yourself. Well, not really. But that, to an extent, maybe so, right? Maybe
I couldn't put the knife in his hand, yo.
Yeah, right. Maybe my situational awareness wasn't where it should have been in that time frame. Maybe I looked like an easy target. But that person used his will to mug you. right? He created that for himself. You just happen to be the recipient of his creation. And that experience isn't just all good, and it's not just an experience that you shouldn't have any attachment to or that you shouldn't do anything to change. You know, I would say that if you live in an...
they've got a remarkable lack of empathy. You know, look, people, mug is not just something you drink out of.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's interesting that so many of these ideas that are packaged as being spiritual actually do cut a person off from their empathy, right? So, you know, if you watch a video, just go on YouTube and type in dog rescue and watch some of those videos. You know, if you don't feel a sense of empathy, a sense of sadness and relief when the dog is rescued, you know, sadness about the dog situation and then relief when they've been rescued and sent to a good home, right? You're suffering a bit of an empathy shortage there. And that dog didn't create that reality of being abandoned and stray or mistreated for himself, right? He's just a dog. And it's likewise, people that have ended up in situations that were damaging to them, right? Maybe they got bombed, for example. Maybe they live in Iraq and they've had their home bombed, or they're a victim of some other form of U.S. government and military imperialism that ended up having their home blown up. They didn't create that for themselves. The will of someone else was imposed on them. And this act of imposing will on someone else, this is the violation of that basic law that I mentioned earlier. And it's not all good. It's a problem that needs to be stopped. So when someone is attempting to take your energy, it's not all good. You need to put a stop to it. You have to stand up and declare your sovereignty and tell them you have no right to take my energy. And you'll be surprised when you get into clearing out agreements, how deep these agreements go, how many beings are holding a copy of those agreements. I call them counterparties to the agreements. Again, as above, so below. There's all of these beings that have copies of agreements that we've made, and they are draining just a little trickle of energy from that agreement. But they have these copies of agreements stacked up in their possession so that they can receive large amounts of energy. And then, of course, they pass some of it up to their superiors and their hierarchy. But that energy source is you, the individual. It's me, the individual. Until we break out of those agreements, until we stand strong in our sovereign power and declare, I am sovereign and you have no right to take any of my energy. You have no right to interfere with my energy or my life in any way, shape, or form. Until we do that, we are going to be subject to these forces that are influencing our reality against our best interests. And so to all of those people who believe that it's all just an experience and you shouldn't ever resist, you should just go with the flow, I've got some news for you. That is the belief system that the enslavers have instilled in you so that you will be a good little slave.
Hold on a second. Is the personification of the light worker somebody who doesn't resist any of the darkness, and a dark worker being the darkness? And those two systems were created by the enslavers so that they create one group of people to do the enslaving and one group of people to lie down and take it.
Kind of, yeah. And the light workers that were prone to fighting the darkness, which was my profile, we get used in a special way where, especially at night, they will concoct these little scenarios, these little battles, these little setups where we go in and we have to fight against the dark forces, right? We go in and we have to rescue people, their children from a situation. And in that channeling of that energy, we have less energy available than in our waking life to affect positive change in the world. And so that was the trap that I had been in for many years, since I was 6 or 7 years old. That they were setting up these scenarios to divert my natural tendency to fight against enslavement. And some people out there, you know, the New Agers who think that it's always bad to fight against something, even if that something is evil. Again, you need a reality check, because if
like the ones that tell you, oh, if you mention their name, you give them power. So basically, what they're telling you is don't expose the particular criminals that are in control at a protest,
right,
kind of thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. So if that were true, if I followed that mindset, then I never would have written this particular article. That the majority of people reading it actually were very receptive to it, very glad that I wrote it. A lot of them were feeling the same things, thinking many of the same ideas, and questioning many of the same tenets. So if I had said, oh, well, you know, I can't ever talk about them because then I'll give them power. Look, just avoiding even talking about something gives it power, right? The idea, another New Age thing, what you resist persists, right? No, what you ignore will persist because you're not doing anything to stop it.
As Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah, exactly. So for the people that have been tricked into believing that it's all good, I would recommend that you shift that perspective and realize that there are forces working upon you, forces taking your energy without your consent, and begin working to undo that agreement that somewhere along the way that you made that you don't remember. Now, agreements are tricky because they'll get, like I said, they get you to agree to things before birth, after birth, during your dream state as well, that will present with opportunities to you. Say, oh, we have a great opportunity for you. Just sign this. Or here, take a look at this, and you'll read something that the words are constantly shifting and moving. And this is a holographic agreement that they are getting you drawn into. So if you're having weird things occur in your dreams, that's a sign that your dreams are being manipulated and not in your highest interest. Your dreams should be very, for the most part, very calm, very peaceful, very soothing. There may be some little events occurring. Maybe there's a problem that you then work with other people on to solve, that type of thing. Your dreams should not be stressful. They should not be filled with battles, fighting for your survival, or running from evil forces chasing you down, that type of thing. If your dreams are resembling that, that's because there are beings that are diverting your energy into those scenarios so that you have less of your power available in your daily waking life.
Kind of like, instead of when you're dreaming, you're fighting battles and whatnot, and when you're not watching TV, you're playing violent video games. Well, that's all that energy out of you.
That's another level of programming, and yeah, that is a way to bleed that energy off. You know, and also violent television programming, there's a sense of false catharsis there, right? Because the bad guy usually gets killed by the good guy, or arrested and put in jail by the good guy. And you have a feeling like, okay, yeah, justice has been served in this illusory television programming. I actually highly recommend that people turn off their TVs, turn off the movies. I mean, there hasn't been an original movie made in a decade. Well, maybe a couple here and there. But for the most part, Hollywood is simply repeating the same things, repeating the same programming, the same archetypal subconscious programming. So all of this stuff is programming.
Here's an interesting little factoid for you. Me and my girlfriend, we do like to watch movies online. When I'm watching them, I'm analyzing enemy communications. I take screenshots of Masonic symbolism. I take small recordings if they mention the number 33 or some really great kind of New World Order speech or whatever. And we were looking through these movies by the year. And what we notice is in 1999, it was like the peak of modern filmmaking. You had The Matrix, Fight Club, The Green Mile, and so many other really kind of iconic films. Mm-hmm. And then we went to 2000, and it was if all the creativity and all the brilliant scripts and everything like that suddenly disappeared, and we had like these really cheesy monster movies and disaster films and so on and so forth that just had nothing, no basis in reality. It was like they were trying to get all of the good scripts out there before the year 2000 hit because they were afraid of losing them on a computer or something.
Well, yeah, and I think what it was is they really needed to step up the programming. And there's another layer of programming and agreements that I want to mention. How much time is left in our little segment here?
About 1 minute.
Okay. We'll get to that when we come back then.
Okay. Well, also, I wanted to give a wee thanks to the listeners. I made a call out for the donations earlier in the week, and sure enough, I'm getting some of them. Still want to have about 500 people from around the world given $5 a month to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It gives me about $500 a week to live off. Just think about the amount of resources that I could really gather to support the activists, improve the show, get new equipment, and so on and so forth. It's about accumulating the tools so that we can do for the activists what they can't do for themselves, what the mainstream media refuses to do because they're bought off, paid off, part of the control structure. Why do you think they call it television programs? Why do you think they call the night coverage of different shows the programming? It's because they're trying to program you. And so, naturally, if you can be programmed by seeing certain things and hearing certain things, surely by seeing other things and hearing other things, you can be deprogrammed. And that's what we seek to do here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. That's why we kind of let on pretty much anybody to talk about whatever the heck they want. Because, look, the world is far too complex to be compressed into a 4.5 second soundbite. Ladies and gentlemen, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, donate, or subscribe today. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the programming that's all about deprogramming. That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of which, this is what the discussion is going to be about for this particular segment. We've got a number of subjects to kind of gloss over. You ever figure out that when you're having fun, you never have enough time? You know, all of a sudden, oh my God, is it 4 o'clock in the morning? Jeepers creepers, I've got to be at work in like 2 hours. Okay, subliminal agreements. What exactly is a subliminal agreement? Meaning it influences you in some way and your subconscious just goes, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Even though you're not really consciously aware that you're making a decision to do something. Like bow down to Satan.
Yep, right. That's basically it. So it's an agreement that you make that happens beneath your conscious threshold. Now, one example of it is when you're watching a television show, and on the introduction to that show, you'll notice that there's a lot of fast-paced imagery moving faster than your eye and brain can really process it. And so when that occurs, when you can't really consciously process it, it all pipes straight into your subconscious to be hopefully processed at some point in the future. The problem is that embedded in there are going to be various symbols, either overt or covertly woven into whatever the artwork is or whatever the imagery is. And in that symbol are going to be what you call sigils. And this is a series of symbols combined into a single icon or a single symbol or a single logo, if you will. And that embedded message essentially says that if you watch this introduction, then you are agreeing to support the version of reality that we are about to show you in this TV show, as one example. So then that agreement comes into your subconscious. You watch that little intro without in your mind saying, I do not agree. I will not support your reality. I'm simply watching this show because it's kind of funny or whatever. If you
The Big Bang Theory comes to mind when they do the little song and the thing. One of the lines in the song is "We built the pyramids," and then it flashes a very quickly a symbol of the all-seeing eye atop a pyramid that was on the back of the $1 bill.
There you go. Yeah, in fact, I like that show, but I will not watch that introduction thing because I know exactly what it's doing, and I'm not going to allow that into my subconscious mind and then have to clear it out. So I just cut it out altogether and say, no, I will not support that.
Here's the problem. Can you subvert those things that are supposed to be subliminal if you know that they're there? They only really affect your subconscious if you don't know that they're there, and then they are able to work their magic on you. But if you know that they're there and you're actually looking for them, you get to spot them and go, ha-ha, there you are.
Right. Now, let's take that Big Bang Theory as an example. You could do that if you paused every single slide and analyzed each slide that flashes on there. But even if you know what's coming and you know that that's going to be embedded in it, if you still watch it, if all of those slides are coming at such a rapid pace that they're going to slip into your subconscious because you didn't have the time to analyze each one of them.
So it takes just that much, ergo almost every single frame of a movie reel, therefore, is an elaborate amount of pictures that your brain can't fully process and actually does it in the subconscious anyway. Because when you're watching television, your brain switches from alpha waves, which are the logical, the analytical, the mathematical waves, to the beta waves, which if I got them the wrong way around?
Switch that around.
But anyway, strike that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. And so therefore, it doesn't even matter if you're aware of what subliminal messages are on there, because your analytical brain ain't possibly switched on.
That's a really important part of it. Yeah, the flicker rate on TVs, right, they flicker at a rate to put you into that alpha state so that you're calm, passive, receptive, and just absorbing whatever programming is coming into you, whatever agreements that they're getting you to agree to. And sometimes it's something as simple as the way the situation is framed. Like in cop shows or CSI type shows, when they'll ask someone, do you have a license for that gun? And they go, oh yes, I have a license, you know. Well, guess what, people? You don't, in most states, in the United States, you don't need a license to own a firearm. You simply buy one and you have it. So it's little things like that, that where they frame reality in such of a way that if you're not in your proper analytical mind and you're not being super vigilant about what you're observing, if you're just passively taking it in, you're agreeing to uphold that vision of reality. And now the same thing occurs in channeled messages. And what they do is they start off with sweetness and light. They tell you some things that you already knew so that you're nodding your head in agreement. And then they get into whatever programming that they want you to have. So they'll tell you essentially be calm, never be angry, never resist. This whole evil tyranny will be overthrown by us. We are going to come like and save you from the evil, right? That's always a message in there. Saviorship. We're really, here to save you.
And they always do it in this really soft tone of voice, you know? Right. It reminds me of some kind of a rapist or a pedophile.
Okay. Yeah, they're always coming in with the sugary sweetness. And so while it is good to be calm, it is good to have calm as your baseline so that you can be balanced. The idea that you should never be angry is a fallacy, because anger is the natural and appropriate response to being manipulated, lied to, or violated in some way. And if you can't get angry, if you're incapable of anger, then guess what? You're a perfect slave.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine a workforce that you could boss around, be mean to all day long, and never, ever, ever have to worry about them rising up and being angry with you.
Yeah. And now, of course, the form of slavery that they're going to shift us to is going to be much more of the velvet glove, right? Right now it's the iron fist. And they want to transition us to the velvet glove so that we feel like we're free. So they'll be very sweet and gentle on the exterior, as long as you're a good little slave. But if you go against it, well, then, you know, the iron fist will come back out. But they want everyone to be really passive, really calm all the time. Oh, stay calm. Don't get angry. Don't be mad. Right? Talk in soft tones. And I would urge everyone to get in touch with the anger that you have, because if you haven't been expressing anger, that means you have probably quite a bit of it suppressed somewhere in your subconscious. And so part of your self-clearing process will be to get that anger out somehow in a constructive way, a way that doesn't spill out onto your family and friends, unless it's your family and friends who are violating your sacred space and your energy, and in which case you probably need to get a little bit angry with them to tell them to back off. But in general, you need to process that subconscious anger so that you can be freed from that baggage, and then clear enough that in the present moment, if a situation that is coming at you where a person is attempting to violate you in any way or deceive you, steal from you, etc., that you can have the appropriate anger to shout very loudly, no, hell no, this is not kosher, I'm not going to do this.
Can we think about a situation that everybody's been in where you've got somebody who you know is using you, you know is lying to you, yet they keep promising you more of what you want if you just keep going along with it? Some of us are stuck in this situation right now. And have you noticed that all these little glinting promises never eventuate and are replaced instead with more promises? I think that the people who actually deliver, those who do what they say they are going to do, are the only people you can really trust. Anybody else is even mildly flaky. You can't put an ounce of confidence in them. And unfortunately, those people for which you should never have confidence in, ironically, become the heads of all the major corporations and banks and governments and so on and so forth. They become your teachers. They become your police officers. They become your doctors, your lawyers. They become your musicians, your filmmakers, your journalists, your radio hosts. They get themselves into these positions of power and authority so that they can more easily permeate this scumbaggery.
Yeah, but as far as radio show hosts go, we exclude you from that, Vinny.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's that same idea that people that don't have a moral compass that will do anything for power tend to get into positions of power because they're willing to do anything. Somebody who does have a moral compass, who doesn't want to hurt other people, who won't do something for their own gain if it is going to hurt someone else, those people are the people that should be in positions, let's say, of respect. Now, I actually am an advocate of non-authority, non-authoritarianism, non-hierarchical structures. I feel very strongly that humanity needs to overcome the slave mentality that has been imprinted on them, that everyone needs to be told by someone what to do. And instead, we need to just adhere to this simple one law: don't hurt anyone else, and live your life the best that you can. And if we all do that, we can all be the governor of ourselves. Because no one has the right to govern another human being. No one has the right to tell another being how they should live or to take their livelihood from them in the form of taxes. We have to transcend all of those hierarchical structures, including the government, and govern ourselves.
I don't want to be somebody's leader. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Like, mm-hmm. I have a natural talent for leadership. You wouldn't believe the amount of protests that, you know, with my megaphone and my chanting, I've led and it made everybody enjoy themselves. But I don't actually want to be able to ever in my life be in a position where I can tell somebody what to do and be able to force them to do it, whether or not they want to.
Right. Absolutely. And that's where everyone needs to be, right? We need to get out of this idea that someone should tell us what to do and that we should tell other people what to do. Nobody should be telling anyone what to do. If somebody comes to me for advice or guidance, I will tune into them and the situation and tune into their higher self and look at the situation from the biggest perspective possible and tell them what I see is probably the best course of action for them. But if they don't want to do that, that's okay. I'm not here to force anyone to do anything. My role is to help people. My role is to facilitate people in getting clear, right? So that's why I do sessions. That's why I put out the self-clearing system. The entirety of that first level is free at ascensionhelp.com. And then there's a level 2 on top of that as well that's very inexpensive. And so I keep everything inexpensive because my ideal is to have a world filled with clear human beings who are filled with the self-authority and the knowledge that they are connected to source, the awareness of that connection, and that they're living from that space. And when you live from that space, you can't force someone to do something. You can't harm anyone else. The idea of harming someone else is absurd. It's insane when you're that connected. But if you're disconnected from that, well, then that's where hierarchy and authority and enslavement, all of that comes about.
Yeah. And I see one subliminal coming through in a lot of films, this line of order out of chaos. And if you watch the new version of Red Dawn, it says something along the lines of, when we were over in Iraq, we were the good guys. We were there to restore order. But now the enemy's on our turf, so it's our job to create chaos. And isn't that ironic how it was actually the United States who went over to Iraq to create some freaking chaos? And then ironically, the invader of the United States was claiming that they wanted to restore order. It's this entire backwards system that is getting through to people, and they don't realize that there is this thing that you've called, what is it, divine chaos versus destructive chaos, Cameron.
Yeah, and so destructive chaos, that's taking the form of the false dialectic. It's taking the form on Earth of imperialistic wars and oppression of people. It takes the form of financial chaos, financial control, energetic enslavement. Destructive chaos is how the rulers have ruled for so long, and it's occurring in the 3D realm. It's occurring in the higher densities as well. But when you strip away all of the control, all of the hierarchical structures, you get a person who is free, and you get what I call divine chaos, where you have...
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Anarchy doesn't mean no rules. It means no rulers, by the way. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please visit there and donate today. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is our final segment in the second hour, our last chance to talk to Mr. Cameron Dade, the bright ray of actual sunshine coming through, not the manipulative lie down and take it like a catamite sunshine.
Yeah, that's a real important difference. There is a true light. There is the true divine source light. And that light is inside of every living being. And that light is what needs to emerge. That's why we have to get clear. We have to strip away all of the illusions that have been layered on top of that light to cover it up and obscure it. So that divine source light is your birthright. It's who you really are. It's really important that people understand that who you think you are in this one lifetime is just a tiny facet of your total being. And that the real you can shine like a sun from your heart and obliterate all of the false light, all of the darkness, the entire corrupt demiurge. And they know what's coming. That's the thing. They are working with borrowed time. They are running out of tricks. In fact, they've run out of tricks a long time ago. Now they just keep repeating the same tricks over and over again. Same ways to usurp energy, the same kind of like, destructive chaos.
They're kind of like the scumbaggery equivalent of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, they've got about a dozen tricks, but they've run out of new stuff, and it's partially because they've taken destructive chaos as far as it can go. That had never really been done
before.
Are
you saying that they have actually perfected the art of destruction and scumbaggery?
Well, as perfect as you can get such a thing, they've taken it as far as it can really go. And now it's time to be done with that whole little experiment. Because, see, somewhere along the way, the being had the thought of, what if I could replace God? What if I could be worshipped by others? What if I could have power over others? What if I could manipulate and take from them? What if I could use my free will to take away the free will of others and get them to even ask for more? And that was the inception of this entire corrupt demiurge that has taken over this world and other worlds. But destructive chaos is running out of time. It's running out of energy. And what we're going to shift back into is the original...
You know why they're running out of energy? The same reason the Roman Empire did. The reason why the Roman Empire collapsed wasn't necessarily due to corruption or whatever. It's because... The reason why it expanded so quickly is because they entered new territories and stole all their wealth. They stopped conquering territories, ran out of stuff to steal, and just floundered and died.
Yeah, and that's essentially what's happening. They've run out of territory to conquer. They can't continue expanding at the rate that they've expanded. And so what was going to happen is that we'll get rid of that whole destructive chaos, the entire corrupt demiurge, and we'll return to the original design of the universe, which was to have what I call divine chaos, where there's no controllers, there's no enslavers, there is no authority dictating what will occur, but rather you have individual beings all expressing their divine self, their divine source, in unique and collaborative, cooperative ways. Building civilizations, building cultures, building music, art, building beauty, building stability. And this divine chaos is what produces true stability, because you have people coming up with new ideas. You have people, beings, if you will, throughout the universe coming up with new ways to do things even better. And so the competition that occurs is more of a friendly competition, where you come up with ways to do things better. You figure out new technologies, you figure out new methodologies, and then you share those with others. And so that divine chaos is where true creativity reigns, and that's where freedom exists. And so humanity has become very disconnected from that concept. And we've been handed a whole pack of lies and told that this is what's true. Even if you don't believe it, well, you're wrong, because I'm an authority and I'm telling you what's true. So that's why we have to be very much in the place of discernment, where we don't believe anything anyone says. And I don't want anyone out there to believe me just because I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I want you to take these ideas in, test them against what you know, test them against your true inner core. I want you to be in touch with your inner core I want you to know for yourself what's true and not believe anything, because believing something means that you have been told something by someone else. It sounded okay, sounded good, and now you believe it. But if you know something, that goes way beyond belief, because now you've tested it, you have made sure that it holds up, and you know that it's the truth.
It's the different form of competition, isn't it? Instead of competing against one another so I can be bigger than you and better than you and beat you, it's instead of one winner, one loser, let's say you're competing to create a free energy device for the world. Everybody's a freaking winner.
Exactly. Yeah, so win-win scenarios come from beings that are in touch with their inner self, that are aware of that source connection. You know, you have to have that in order to even perceive a win-win scenario, because if you're lacking that, if that's covered up, then you feel a state of spiritual lack, a state of need, and therefore the ego will then become disproportionate and it will need you to feel better than someone else, to feel superior or have authority over someone else.
I find people often abuse authority because I think there was some kind of a college study done where they got a whole bunch of students in there and they got split them in half, got half of them to be guards and half of them to be prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And the guards were the supreme authority. And within a week or something like that, they were abusing and even beating some of the other students and things like that. It just turned them into monsters having unchecked power.
Yeah, that unchecked power. And see, if all of those so-called guards would have had that awareness of who they truly are, they wouldn't have had any need to, first of all, even participate in the experiment. But even if they had, they wouldn't have any need to exercise any form of power and control over those other inmates. They would have just done the basics that were needed for the experiment and not given in to that urge, because that urge wouldn't have even been there. If you know who you are, if you know that you are connected to Source, there's no need to have power over anyone else. There's no need to take or usurp anyone else's power, because you have your own power.
Is this a paradox, though? Think about the world of politics. The only people who really enter into politics and survive through it and go all the way up to the top in order to have power over everybody is the person who would actually want power over everybody. Ergo, the person in charge is never going to be somebody who wants you to empower yourself, not with the existing system anyway.
That's exactly correct. And so that's one other reason we need to transcend the perceived desire to have someone govern us, to have an external authority telling people what to do, how to live, and how their money should be stolen from them and spent.
I convinced somebody that karma didn't exist the other day. Think about this. If karma really existed, think about all the really good people who've done nothing wrong in their lives, who've actually been really kind and generous and loving to everybody that they meet. Getting parking tickets or speeding tickets or getting mugged or something of that nature, or getting sexually assaulted or something. Where's karma for them? And think about all the scumbaggery individuals that do that kind of stuff on the grand scale, like Henry Kissinger or George H.W. Bush and so on and so forth, and the Robert Mugabes and Joseph Stalins in this world. They didn't really get their just desserts, did they? They certainly didn't experience badness throughout life to the same extent or anywhere near even possibly comparable to the amount of suffering that they inflicted on humanity. And I was thinking the other day, Cameron, that this concept of karma in that respect, that if you do bad things will happen to you, I think that that was one of these ploys to get people to be talking about being one of these light workers so that they'll be completely disempowered and just go, oh, well, somebody badly just did this little thing to me, so I'll just accept it and lay down and frickin' take it while these people take everything else from me behind my back.
Yeah, and yeah, the law of karma has been radically twisted within the demiurge. In fact, the so-called lords of karma, it's a kind of a big topic, but they will...
We've only got 45 seconds.
Yeah, okay, so they will essentially transfer that energy that should be... that the individual who committed an act should be responsible for. They'll transfer it to someone else. And again, they do this through agreements. I'll be writing more about this though in a future article. So I know we don't have time now. So I just would like to once again plug my site, ascensionhelp.com, ASCENSION help, as well as my other site, geniusbrainpower.com, where I offer a comprehensive package for brainwave entrainment so that your right brain and left brain can both be balanced and working together in harmony, so that way you can't be fooled nearly so easily by those who would happily take your power and energy from you.
Yep. You need a set of tools, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Cameron, thank you very much for your time, your wisdom, your experience, and various other nice things, which I could describe, but unfortunately I don't really have much time.
Thanks, Vinny.
And we'll get this all up on YouTube and the VinnyEastwoodShow.com as quickly and promptly as possible, because, you know, we've touched upon a lot of very important, life-changing, realization-giving knowledge and experience and wisdom during the show, you know, for myself included. So, ladies and gentlemen, please share this one out with everybody. We'll see you again sometime.